all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800.
You can help support Veterans Radio by going to our website, VeteransRadio.net, and either sponsoring us with some buddy money. You know, that's a donation maybe of $10 a month or even $100 that will keep us on the air. And you can also go to our website to our new Veterans Radio Exchange. We have a brand new swag store, and we'd like to have our super fans help us get the word out about Veteran Radio by wearing our gear and making a purchase that helps support and fund this ongoing effort. So remember, go to VeteransRadio.net and help us out. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Ryan Mannion, who is the president of the Travis Mannion Foundation. Ryan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's one of these things that I want to talk to our Veteran Radio listeners about on a couple of different fronts, the work that the foundation's doing, and also a new book that you have out called The Knock at the Door. So we're going to cover a couple of different things, and let's start, though. Ryan, you are the president of Travis Mannion Foundation. Tell us a little bit about maybe your mom's inspiration for starting it and the work that it's currently doing.
Absolutely. So the Travis Mannion Foundation was founded by my mom in 2007 after the loss of my brother, First Lieutenant Travis Mannion, who was killed in Iraq on his second tour of duty. And, you know, originally we started the foundation to make sure we continued his legacy, but 12 years later, we continue as a nationally recognized veteran serving organization, and we work to empower veterans to successfully transition here at home once they take off the uniform. We have a ton of different engagement opportunities for veterans. Our signature program, however, is called Character Does Matter. And we actually train veterans to deliver character education to our nation's youth. We know how important it is to make sure that we are playing a role in creating the next generation of leaders. And on the flip side, it's also very important for our returning veterans to continue to feel that sense of purpose and a way to continue to serve once they leave the military.
We find with talking to a lot of veterans, and particularly those who struggle with the transition, is one of the hardest things that they have when they leave the military is this loss of purpose. You know, they had a big mission, they had a big purpose while they were in the military, and sometimes you can come home, particularly with so few people serving in active military these days, and kind of lose that purpose. Is that sort of how you settled on Character Does Matter and finding a purpose for veterans?
Absolutely. You know, as you said, 55% of our returning veterans are saying that they feel disconnected when they're returning, when they're taking off the uniform. And we wanted to make sure that we were finding ways to assimilate them back into their communities and also show the civic assets that they are. And so this program is designed to make sure that they are sharing their stories and sharing those stories of leadership and service. I mean, you can think of no better way. Here is a group of individuals, like you said, 1% of our nation is serving in the military. And beyond the things they do while serving, one of the most important things they're being taught is what it means to be a servant leader. And we are failing as a society if we're not asking them to take those values that they learned while serving in the military and pass them on. And so, you know, we've worked with over 300,000 students across the country. And the idea that we can impress upon these kids that you don't have to live a life of military service, but you can certainly be a servant leader in your own backyard. And, you know, veterans coming back and sharing those stories and continuing to showcase what they've been able to do. It's incredibly powerful.
If somebody's out there listening on Veterans Radio and says, well, I hear Ryan Mannion, the president of Travis Mannion Foundation talking about involving veterans in a program like this. But I don't come from a Gold Star family. I wasn't a hero. I'm just a regular guy or gal who served in the military. Are those the type of people you're trying to bring into this program at the foundation?
Yes, absolutely. Our veteran population comes from every branch, every background. Not every one of them deployed, but they all have value that they bring to the table, and they all have a story to share. And at the end of the day, each and every one of them raised their right hand to serve and protect our country. And that in itself, those are the type of people we want to engage.
Well, the whole concept of service before self, which is one of the mottos, it might be the Air Force, might be the Army, I'm not sure whose motto it is. In our society, it's all too often about me. What do I get out of it? And I do think veterans have something that they can share about that whole concept of service before self.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, we have to make sure that as we work, you know, this our country right now, it's divided. And there's a lot of things that, you know, when you look at our current media, no one's sharing the good stories. No one's sharing the stories of the men and women who are serving and then coming home and continuing to serve. And we want to highlight these incredible stories. We want to highlight these incredible men and women, and we want to give them continuous opportunities to showcase what they have gone on to do.
The foundation probably started by your mother's as a single idea of just something small. And as you mentioned in describing it, it's become a national foundation. It is very well respected. For those of you who are familiar with Charity Navigator, it's kind of the website you can go to check out charities. And every veteran who's contributing to a veteran charity ought to go check Charity Navigator so that your money's going to good causes and not a scam. Charity Navigator has the Travis Mannion Foundation down as a 4-star, which is its highest rating, and it has an overall score of 94.5 out of 100. I mean, really high scores on all issues. How did it evolve into this national organization?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people ask us how we went from a small family memorial fund to where we are today, and I wish I could give the answer and say, this is what it is. You know, a lot of what we talk about is that what we're trying to create as an organization, it's less about being a charity, and it's more about being a movement. And our population, it's not just made up of veterans and Gold Star families. We have over 100,000 members of our organization are inspired civilians. And it's all about wanting to do good and getting into communities and changing the landscape of what is going on. And so I think for us, it gets back to those five words that my brother Travis spoke before leaving for Iraq on his second tour of duty. When he was asked why he had to go back, you know, he gave a very simple answer, and it was, if not me, then who? And we've taken those five words and we've asked everybody to just take those five words and apply them to their daily lives, to make sure that each and every day they challenge themselves to have an if not me, then who moment, no matter how small it may be. And I think that people respond to that, and it excites them, and it's something easy, but it's also something very profound.
Well, it certainly is a beautiful motto to live by. If not me, then who? Let's talk about Travis a little bit. Talk about your brother. Talk about the kind of kid he was before he went into the service and afterwards.
Absolutely. So my brother Travis and I were 15 months apart. We were born into a military family. My dad is a retired colonel in the Marine Corps. And I always say that, you know, for us, we knew and understood very early on what it meant to live a life of service. We watched my dad do it for 30 years. It really wasn't until after Travis was killed that I fully recognized what sacrifice was all about. But, you know, Travis was very driven from a young age. He set goals and he accomplished them. And I was always in awe of the things that he put his mind out to do and ended up doing. And, you know, he went to the Naval Academy, graduated in 2004. From there, he joined the Marine Corps. He did a first tour in Iraq in 2005 as a logistician. And then when he came back, he actually wanted to be more involved and, you know, really be more in the fight. And so he joined the 1st Recon Battalion with the Marine Corps and went on a second tour of duty as with a MIT team, which is a small group of Marines that were assigned to help train the Iraqi army. He was killed on April 29, 2007, while out on patrol. Two of his teammates were shot. He exposed himself twice to enemy fire to pull them back to safety. And it was the third time exposing himself to enemy fire to help hold them off that he was shot and killed by a sniper's bullet. He was awarded the Silver Star and Bronze Star with Valor for his efforts. And, you know, my brother is clearly my inspiration for every single thing that I do. But I'll tell you, even before his death, my brother was an inspiration to me.
Well, having read about Travis, certainly on what you write about him, he was just a good guy. I mean, I mean that in the broadest sense and with as much praise as you can give a young man. He was a good guy. And you and he had somewhat typical, I guess I'd say, brother-sister relationship. You were close, but at times quite different in your approaches to life, weren't you?
Absolutely. And he was. It's, you know, it's interesting. I think we're all a little bit guilty about, you know, those who pass away. You have a way of, you know, somewhat forgetting the bad and just remembering the good. And some people get elevated to pedestals. But my brother was an amazing guy who everybody loved. No one ever had a bad thing to say about him. And we were very different. I was very much more relaxed and lackadaisical to my approach in life in general. And again, he was just an extremely driven person who everybody loved. And that's why his loss cut not just his family, but the Marine Corps community, his Naval Academy community. It just cut everybody so deeply. It was a humongous loss.
You've taken this opportunity to write with two of your friends, Heather Kelly and Amy Looney Heffernan, a book called The Knock at the Door. For anybody who's ever served, we automatically know what that is. But for our veteran radio listeners who are friends of veterans who may not understand what that means, can you tell us what The Knock at the Door means?
Yes. Yeah, so The Knock at the Door is what your family will receive when you lose a loved one in service to this country. Myself, Heather and Amy all lost our loved ones. I lost my brother. Amy and Heather both lost their husbands. And we all received knocks at our doors to tell us that the person that we loved most had been taken away from us.
And you, the three of you write as young women having the similar experience of the knock at the door and the loss of a loved one, but from different angles, which I think is really interesting in the book. And one of the, actually it's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs who said, this book will comfort and reassure those suffering through unspeakable tragedy. It doesn't have to be this tragedy, but I think the book will provide comfort and reassurance, whatever your unspeakable tragedy is in life. But for the three of you, you share this unique status of being from Gold Star families. And believe it or not, there are people who don't understand what being a Gold Star family means. So would you be so kind as to explain it?
Sure. A Gold Star family is families that have lost loved ones serving this great country. And, you know, I lost my brother in Iraq. Amy and Heather both lost their husbands in Afghanistan. And there is definitely a disconnect. I've had people who, you know, I'll refer to myself in my bio as a Gold Star sister, and they'll say, well, what did you get a Gold Star for? And, you know, so I think there's definitely an education piece that we were trying to bring with this book. But as you said, this book is more than just a book about Gold Star families. This book is about teaching anyone who receives a knock on the door how you can respond to it. You know, I lost my brother in 2007, and then in 2012, I lost my mom to cancer, and that was another knock at the door that I received. And each and every one of us in this lifetime are going to receive a knock at the door. Maybe it's not going to be the literal knock that Amy, Heather, and I received, but you're going to receive news that changes your life, that changes the course and the direction of where you thought your life was going. And a lot of what we talk about in the book is not just about that knock itself, but the things we did to make us stronger after that knock came.
I think one of the other things that you get across in the book, and I think this is so helpful for our veteran radio listeners, and maybe you can expand on it, Ryan Mannion, is that it's going to take a lot of time. In your instance, Travis died in 2007. You had challenges all through up to and through 2012 of sort of how do I internalize this grief? How do I process this grief? Is it grief? How do I come over it? It's not a 1 week, 1 month, 1 year kind of process, is it?
It's not, and that's what I always share with people. I've had a lot of people that have reached out to me. I mean, clearly we have a we work with Gold Star families every day, and I'm very clear to share with them and others who have just experienced loss of any type. You know, grief doesn't go away. And I think that was the biggest misconception for me when I lost my brother. I kept waiting for that one day that I would wake up and I wouldn't feel that pain. And I always say, you know, grief doesn't go away, but it changes. And it manifests, and it is something that you do learn to live with. But I think being upfront and open to the idea that, and knowing that you are going to grieve and perhaps for the rest of your life, but knowing that you can move on, that you can live a fulfilling life, you know, that those things will come eventually, but knowing that you will never get away from the loss of your loved one, and they will be with you every step of the way. And for us, we have taken that loss and used it as inspiration to be the best version of ourselves.
And in the knock at the door that you co-wrote with Heather and Amy, there's a line that I want you to talk about. You wrote, "Grief is a savage and shrewd beast that isn't easily tamed." That was a lesson you had to learn, wasn't it?
It was, you know, for a very long time, I processed my grief by pushing it aside and trying to stamp it out. And I thought if I could just keep busy enough and not focus on it, then that would be my way forward. And for me, I learned that, you know, that's not the case. You have to deal with it. You have to let it consume you to take that next step. And I learned that the hard way, but I learned it. And, you know, my hope is that this book I can share with people and they don't have to learn it the same way that I did.
Well, we all want to pass along what I refer to as pearls of wisdom to our friends and our listeners and our family. And one of them that I got out of your book is that it's not an either or, is it? It's a both. You can have happiness in the present, that doesn't mean you've forgotten the past. I think that's one of the points you were trying to make.
Absolutely. You know, Amy, my co-author, she shares a beautiful story about losing her husband. But, you know, today she is married, remarried with a brand new baby. And, you know, a lot of what she talks about is that her past helped her to become the person that she is today. And she said, you know, I never would have been able to marry Joel, who she's married to now, without being the person and the wife I was with Brendan. And I think it's such a beautiful sentiment that she knows that her past is what made her who she became and the life that she's ultimately leading now. And I think, you know, if you kind of hold on to that and know that it's all these experiences that help to shape us into who that we're going to become. It becomes not feeling guilty about choices we make, but also knowing that, you know, they're a way to our future.
You also had to find, and you write about, and I think this is really helpful for folks, you wrote about how this impacted your husband Dave and the three kids, and at some point you had to come to grips with how you were impacting them because of how it was impacting you, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to become very internal to your own struggles and not look outwardly to the people around you and who else that affects. And, even today, I know my loss is my loss, but it's also a shared loss. And there were so many people that felt the same loss for Travis that I did. And knowing that you have these people around you that can build you up and support you, and vice versa, that you can be there for them when they're in, a lower place. I talk a lot about relationships and how important relationships are as you're moving forward with any type of tragedy or circumstance that's kind of changing the course of your life.
I want to take a shift a little bit and take a moment to make sure that we give Brandon Looney and Robert Kelly some airtime here. Would you be so kind to talk about both of these men who gave the last measure for their country and whose spouses have become involved in the foundation, but also authors, co-authors of the book, The Knock at the Door?
Sure. So Brendan Looney was the Brendan Looney was Amy Looney Heffernan's late husband. And along with that, Brendan was actually one of Travis's best friends. They were roommates at the Naval Academy. And Brendan was very close to my family. He was actually one of the people that was there for us in a big way after Travis was killed. And unfortunately, 3 years after Travis's death in Iraq, Brendan lost his life in Afghanistan. And so it was a huge loss to know that these two individuals, Brendan and Travis, with so much left to give the world, had been taken from us. They are actually buried next to each other in Arlington National Cemetery in Section 60. And Brendan was killed in September of 2010. And then just 2 months later, Robert Kelly was killed in Afghanistan. Also in 2010, I did not know Robert. I didn't know Heather at the time. I met Heather a couple years later. She started volunteering at the Travis Manning Foundation, herself looking for a sense of purpose after the loss of her husband. And, quickly, Amy, Heather, and I, now working together with Gold Star Families, we knew how important it was to share our stories with the world. And, we always say that Robert, Brendan, and Travis, they represent this generation of men and women who have gone on to serve and sacrifice. And we hope that their story sheds light on the amazing stories of the thousands and thousands of other men and women who have given their last measure of devotion to this country.
I think it takes a lot of courage that Amy showed and Heather showed to talk about how lonely they were after the death of their husbands, how the darkness was overpowering, how you turn to drinks and Ambien to get through it, but time and working through the struggle, you will get through it. And one of them writes, how do you struggle well? It is for anybody going through unspeakable tragedy, I think you'll find a lot of comfort in this book, The Knock at the Door. I suspect that you're hearing from people outside the veterans community about what you three have written, aren't you, Ryan?
Absolutely. I just actually heard today, I got an email today from a woman who shared with me that her best friend lost her sister to cancer, and she bought the book and gave the book to her best friend, and her best friend said, it was the first thing that kind of got her out of bed and said, okay, I can do this. And, that's why it was important for us, because, a lot of people see where we are today. And it's very easy to look at the three of us who are very driven and working hard, and we kind of seem to have it all together. And in many ways we do, but that wasn't always the case. And we wanted to make sure that people saw the journey that we took and the things that we had to do. And like you said, that, you know, we did struggle, but our ultimate goal was to struggle well and to know that we were going to get to a better place. And that goes for anyone and everyone that is dealing with unspeakable tragedy, that, you know, if we are intentional about it, we can get to a better place.
And really what you're asking for all of those folks, whether they be Gold Star families or otherwise struggling with tragedy, is support, not pity.
Absolutely. None of us want any sort of pity. And listen, our stories are unique, but in the same way, they're not unique. And there's no barometer to gauge whose loss is worse than another person's loss. And, you know, who would want to measure someone's loss versus another's? But, you know, we know that it's not often that people talk about grief. It's a little bit of a taboo subject. And it's something that's very overlooked, and people don't know what to say and they don't know how to act. And we wanted to shed some light on that and make it a little bit more palatable and open for people to talk about and not feel uncomfortable having those conversations.
Well, we think you did a great job in the book. The work that you're doing and the others are doing at the Travis Manion Foundation is incredible. If people want to support the efforts at Travis Manion Foundation, or veterans maybe want to get involved in work on the Character Does Matter program, how do they get in contact with the foundation and volunteer or support?
Absolutely. They can go right to travismanion.org, TravisManion.org. And as soon as you log on to our website, you can click on the button that says Join the Mission. And you can join our mission. We've got chapters and regional offices all across the country. And we'll get you plugged in and working with us to, you know, strengthen our country's national character.
And you also have a social media presence that maybe you can direct people to.
Absolutely. We're on Facebook at Travis Manion Foundation, Twitter, Travis Manion Foundation, and Instagram the same. So just search Travis Manion Foundation and you'll find us.
Ryan, we appreciate you taking some time to educate and talk to the Veteran Radio listeners today. And we, again, really appreciate the work that you've been doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and my best to you, Jim.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.